Welcome in, everyone, to a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Hughes. There's Jackson Ryan. And man, oh man, do we have a lot to catch up on this morning. We are officially in September, final few weeks of the 2021 regular season in baseball. But first off, Jackson, it's so great to catch up with you. I'm back in New York. You're back in school. I'm back in school. Today's the first day, but you are on week five already, so big difference in between colleges from Texas versus New York State in school. But first off, how are you doing? How are things going? And how was your summer?
Oh, things are going well. Thanks for having me on, Alex. The summer went really well. I was in the Texas Collegiate League in San Antonio under John McLaren and Danny Graves. Danny Graves was the former all-time saves leader with the Reds, and John McLaren was with the Seattle Mariners when they had those great teams and coached Team China. So very fortunate to learn from those two. We ended up winning a championship with all college players this summer in San Antonio at Nelson Wolf Stadium, the double A of the Padres and the San Antonio Missions. And then with school starting up, we started August 9th, but we get out in the middle of November for Christmas break. So it's kind of nice to already be 5 weeks in.
No doubt. And I was able to get to one of your games this summer in San Antonio, and it was so cool to be able to see you do your own thing. And you talk about the experience on the coaching staff that, I mean, for a college, collegiate summer baseball league, it's incredible. The coaching staff you guys had this summer, what did you learn the most from just being around just so many great baseball minds?
Probably the mindset of the game, as well as reading hitter swings. So like if it's a right-handed hitter and he's pulling the baseball, well, you can throw that pitch inside because that's a free strike, even if he hits it 450 feet foul. And then it sets up your outside pitches for your secondary pitches from a pitching perspective. And from an offensive perspective, being aggressive, especially on the base pass, going first to third, going second to home, going first to home, and hitting your cuts and relays. Because at the end of the day, all of it's about the little things in baseball that make a huge difference. And the best pitch in baseball is strike one. So I was very fortunate, to say the least, and it was great to see you come out, as well as Gene Watson's wife. So it was a good time this summer.
No doubt. And I love San Antonio. I think it's someone told me, I forget who said it, but San Antonio is the number one city in Texas that people go to travel to. I love that city. There's so much to do. And of course, we did the tourist things, even though I spent 6 months in Texas this year. And Gene Watson's wife, Melanie, she's born and raised in Texas, but we still did the tourist things because they are fun to do. Did you have a chance to do any of that, or were you too busy on the baseball field?
No, I really just went from the hotel back to the field and would try to learn as much as I can. I'd get there around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and try to pick up on little nuggets and talk about different things that happened in the game back when John McLaren was coaching, and he would tell different stories. And that's what baseball's about, is getting the stories out there and talking about different things in the game that most people don't understand and that don't know about the game. And so I was very fortunate to learn from some great coaches and players.
Absolutely. An incredible experience for you this summer. And it's back to be back in New York, and school starting up for me as well. And I'll be working with the Siena baseball team up here. But without further ado, Jackson, we got a lot to catch up on at the major league level. Just a few weeks left, a few games left, and it's going to be an exciting few weeks left of this 2021 season. A lot has happened this year, but a lot still needs to happen. There's still question marks. I think pretty much the divisions are pretty much set in the American League. And then we got some possible movement between a few teams in the National League and the division-wise. But it's going to be the wild card. And that's why baseball brought in this one-game playoff about 20 years ago now, just simply because it does provide that excitement level to where if there wasn't a wild card game, the divisions would pretty much be set. You look at the American League, Jackson, the Yankees are 8.5 out of first place. Tampa holding on. Tampa just can't find a way to lose at this point in the season. The White Sox have a 10-game lead over Cleveland. And the Astros have a 5.5 game lead over the Mariners. So I think the Mariners, I don't see in front of me about how many more times Seattle and Houston play left this season, but five and a half games with, again, they say the elimination number is 20 games. It's going to be tough, but hey, anything can happen. And then, so out of the American League, do you feel like the divisions are set, or do you see a possible upset in any of these teams?
I think these divisions are pretty much set. Seattle had a chance. They're playing Houston this week, and they ended up losing yesterday. And every time you lose, that just hurts your chances of getting the opportunity to make up a game. And it erases two from a standpoint of being eliminated in that standpoint. And then I feel like Tampa Bay made maybe the biggest addition at the trade deadline, and Nelson Cruz. I know he's 40 years old or older than that, but he still can swing the bat, and what he brings is veteran leadership into the clubhouse. And I feel like the Chicago White Sox are going to win that division pretty much easily. I feel like everybody else is still rebuilding and waiting on their younger prospects to come up, and guys like Bobby Witt Jr., Kyle Isbell, for the Royals, and then the Tigers, Spencer Torkelson eventually. So I feel like that's the White Sox division. And what will be interesting is we're going to get a White Sox and Astros first round playoff series, which will be very cool.
No doubt. And I think, like you said, I agree with you. I think the divisions are pretty much set. Tampa Bay, I think, is the most surprising team. I mean, I don't know if you can really say surprising, because Tampa Bay, what they've been able to do the last few years, just going to the World Series and being so competitive against the Dodgers last year, when the Dodgers, on paper, have one of the best rosters in all of baseball. And that's partially why and how they've been able to win 87 games, the same amount of games that Tampa Bay has won. So you look at that and you see what Tampa has been able to do. And you mentioned the acquisition of Nelson Cruz, what they've been able to do. And it still boggles, I think, a lot of people minds in the game of baseball, because a lot of people ask, what does Tampa do so differently that no other team can do? And I think just Tampa has a system. They utilize the analytics, and the players understand that the system in place is how you do it. I think we saw that with Blake Snell in the offseason. Blake Snell kind of didn't fully commit to the system, and they traded him to the Padres. So I think Tampa feels like no matter who they have, how much talent a player has on their team, they believe that if a player can do something analytically that makes them better, they're going to go with that player. What they've been able to do, getting like a guy like JP Fireyzer in a trade right before the deadline, a pitcher that kind of fit the need for a bullpen with a few teams but never really found his footing, has been really exceptional in the Tampa Bay bullpen. And I think if you went to any other team, I don't know if how successful it would have been if he didn't go to Tampa Bay. So what they've been able to do, the system they have in place, is obviously working. They're
No, and
87 and 51.
they remind me, Alex, a lot of what Oakland used to do back in the day in 2002, where they would use analytics, try to find players that are not valued as highly by other organizations because maybe they're not as top prospects or not as good as what other teams have in their organization. And then they use their analytics, and their coaches do a great job. Kevin Cash obviously is one of the better coaches in the league and managers in the league. Sorry, excuse me. And he was with a catcher back with the Express, and everybody thought that he would be a manager. And I think having the experience of going to the World Series and gaining that knowledge, for that team last year can only help them in what they want to do accomplish this year. And at the end of the day, they are the 2020 American League champions, and we'll see how they do this postseason. So it'll be very interesting.
And then in the National League, we'll get to the wild card, but let's talk about the divisions first, in both leagues. So the National League, I think the NL East has been maybe not the most interesting, but the most, I think, just sensationally confusing for a lot of people, especially fans of these teams. The Atlanta Braves, the Phillies, and the New York Mets, all within four games of each other in that division. The Mets, for a long time, had a lead in the division. And then, as soon as injuries hit that rotation and the lineup, they've struggled. But now, winning their last 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're back to 500, and you look at the divisions in almost every single league, 500 teams. For example, Cleveland, who is one game better than the Mets, is 10 games out of first place. So if you look at the NL East for a team that's 500, only 4 games out of first, you can say, well, anyone can run away with this division in the month of September with a few weeks we have left. So it's going to be either the Braves, Phillies, or Mets. Which team, Jackson, do you feel the most confident in, the Braves, Phillies, or Mets?
Can I say none of them out of the three? Because I'll start with the Mets. They've had so many things even off the field with their GM now being put on leave due to the DUI. They've also had injuries this year. They've had the Javi Baez deal as well as the Francisco Lindor deal with the fans, which, that doesn't help your fan base at all when you're not happy with your fans. And then from a Phillies and Braves perspective, I feel like they've been going back and forth whenever they play each other. And I guess I'll say the Braves, because I like the Charlie Morton re-sign that they just did for 1 year and $20 million with an option for 2023. And Charlie's been their best starter in that rotation. But, I just don't really feel like whoever comes out of that division, they're going to play Milwaukee. And I feel like Milwaukee will take them down in 3 or 4 games in the postseason. So whoever comes out of that division will be interesting to see what happens.
The Mets, I think, are the most interesting team and most confusing team that we've seen in all of the years in the game of baseball. What they have been able to do, it seems like they cannot escape controversy. I think with Steve Cohen coming in as their new owner and the Wilpons selling the team, there was this hope by Mets fans that the controversies would end. And it simply hasn't been able to. And if I'm Steve Cohen right now, I'm thinking, what needs to change? That culture that Steve Cohen talked about when he first bought the team, about how the culture is going to change and you're not going to see the old Met ways bleed through anymore. And it's a new era in Mets baseball. But this season alone, it hasn't seemed to go away. And you wonder what needs to change. If the Mets do make the playoffs and they do make a run, can you really say that, well, the Mets need a new president and Sandy Alderson? I mean, can you say that? So I think, well, the Mets have no, loyalty to any GM right now. The one, they just placed on leave, there's no loyalty there. So I think, and all in all, I think there will be a new GM for the offseason. And then who that is, I have no idea. And whether or not that is Sandy Alderson's hiring, or maybe there's a new president that to really change the culture with this Mets team, I don't know. Especially, it's going to be interesting to see if the Mets do make a run here the last few weeks and to see what the players do. I think what Steve Cohen said a few weeks ago, Jackson, is that the players need to perform. He felt confident in the team that he put on the field and his president put on the field and GM at the beginning of the season. Now, a lot can be said. A lot has changed. The injuries to Syndergaard and DeGrom definitely hampered this rotation. And then the acquisition of Javi Baez. Baez has been hurt. Lindor has been underperforming all season outside of a few weeks. So whether or not the Mets can really say, well, we feel confident going forward after this season with the front office that they have and the players they have on the field competing each and every single day, I think the Mets have the most potential out of any team in that division. They just not been able to perform.
Well, and their rotation obviously is going to take a hit with DeGrom going out. But, guys like Marcus Stroman, Carlos Carrasco, Taijuan Walker, Rich Hill, they've got to step up. And if they're going to do anything in the postseason, especially against Milwaukee, who had a great addition in Willy Adames, and has come back, Daniel Vogelback hit a grand slam the other day against St. Louis. So if they're going to do anything in the postseason and in this division September, they've got to get good starting pitching and they've got to get timely hitting, because the Mets, I feel like, have always had good pitching. They just haven't been able to hit in key situations.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Brewers. Let's get right into the Central. The Brewers, 11-game lead over the Reds. They're winning the division. And I think they might be one of the most surprising teams, in my opinion, to where the Brewers winning 84 games. But in that division, Jackson, you look at St. Louis, I think they've really I thought they were going to be better. They're just two games over 500, especially after the acquisition, after trading for Nolan Arenado, who is one of the best third basemen in all of the game of baseball. I thought that would help them. I thought maybe that would put them over to get back to their winning ways. Hasn't happened. And then you look at the Cubs, who have really struggled after the trade deadline, and you look at guys like Javi Baez, like Anthony Rizzo, like Chris Bryant, and all the other players that were part of that team being traded away, and the Nationals in there too. It's going to be interesting to see how this Cubs rebuild goes. They're 11 games below 500, and I'm sure they're not going to get back to 500 this season. They've struggled, like I said, after the deadline. So whether or not you can really say what identity this Cubs team is for the future, it's going to be reliant on the front office and the scouts to really develop this team back into that winning culture that they had roughly 4 years ago now. So I think the Brewers, hands down, are going to win the division, and we'll get into wild card in a second. Let's go into the NL West. I think the Padres have been the biggest disappointment in this division. It's now up to the Giants and Dodgers. And I think if you listen back to our podcast way before predictions, when we were talking about this upcoming season, Jackson, and you can listen to anyone in the game of baseball, no one had the Giants winning 88 games, one more than the Dodgers here on September 7th.
No, they didn't. And I feel, going back to the Padres real quick, they are the most disappointing team in baseball this season for me. When you add Yu Darvish, when you add Blake Snell, when you add Mark Melanson, you re-sign Jerickson Profar, you add Joe Musgrove, you're in it. And when you don't have the prospects you used to have because of trades that they've made, then they're kind of stuck in the middle right now. You add Jake Arrieta as well. And so I feel like they've been the most disappointing team, even if they do make the postseason. It'll be interesting to see who they'll start in a one-game playoff situation. It's coming down between them and the Cincinnati Reds. Who would have ever thought Cincinnati Reds would be in the position for the wild card, in which we'll talk about in a minute. But the Giants are the biggest surprise to me. Gabe Kapler's done a heck of a job. And, you know, guys have stepped up, like Kevin Gausman and Brandon Crawford have stepped up big time this year. But very surprising to see them ahead of the Dodgers, with the Dodgers having Max Scherzer, you know, all these different guys that they've acquired and that they've had overall the past couple of years. And so very interesting division for sure.
You look at the NL wild card now. The Dodgers, whether or not they can catch up to the Giants or not, there's only that one game separation, both in the win and loss column there. So as of right now, if the season ended today, it would be the Giants, Brewers, and Braves winning the division. And then we would have a one-game playoff between the Dodgers and Padres. And any baseball fan, I don't know if that doesn't excite you, I think we would need to check your pulse, because we've seen it all season, Jackson, just the excitement level between the two teams, the Dodgers and Padres. And I think, hopefully, after the CBA agreement this offseason, there's a potential three-game wild card. Now, there's been rumors of that being bringing into effect starting next season. And I would really love to see a three-game series between the Dodgers and Padres. I don't think one game will do it justice about this new renewed rivalry between the two teams. But you look at the wild card. The Reds only one game out. The Phillies two games out. The Cardinals 3.5 out. And the Mets 4.5 out. And then the Cubs are 10 games out. So it's between the Reds, Phillies, Cardinals, and the Mets, you can throw in there, competing for that second wild card spot. Who out of those five teams, including the Padres, would you say has the best chance to get in?
To get in, I'll go with San Diego, just barely, though, because of their rotation. I feel like I would trust Darvish, and I would trust all these other guys, Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove and whoever else in that rotation, to get in. I think they'll barely sneak in. But you know, what will be interesting too is for the if the Dodgers end up as the wild card team, who will they start in the one game playoff? Because they've got multiple people they can start. They can start Bueller, they can start Scherzer, they can start whoever they want. But you know, if I'm a Dodgers fan, that is not a place I want to be in a one game playoff, because you could go home on a fluke in a one game playoff situation.
What is so amazing about the Dodgers is they've been hampered with injuries and things off the field, and Trevor Bauer that has really affected this team and their roster. But what they've been able to do, Mookie Betts now is just getting back to the Mookie Betts that baseball fans think about. And he finally feels healthy and feeling back to quote unquote normal and ready to go every single day. And Mookie is the face of the franchise outside of Clayton Kershaw and now the newly acquired Max Scherzer. So you look at that team and the Dodgers, how they've been able to just scratch and claw their way to 87 wins, and they've been pretty much dominant in all of their games. And there was a stretch in the early part of the season where the Dodgers were below 500 at some point, or just a 500 team. And there was that question of where is this 115 game Dodgers team that everyone was talking about with the star-studded lineup and the star-studded rotation? Everyone expected the Dodgers to be so dominant and the best team in baseball in the first half of the season. They weren't that team. But now in the second half, they've made up a lot of ground in that division. And now they're only one game out of first place. They own the wild card as the Giants lead the division as of right now, as of today. But still, what they've been able to do, winning 87 games on September 7th, is an incredible accomplishment. And I don't think Dave Roberts gets enough credit as this manager of the team. I think in the game, it's so easy to put the blame or put the success on a manager. They are the face of controversy or the face of a move that sometimes doesn't sit well with fans, or sometimes when they make a good move. But Dave Roberts, what he's been able to do in the recent years with the Dodgers team, he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Dave Roberts has done a really nice job and obviously winning a world championship last year. But you know what this division could come down to is the home run robbery of Albert Pujols by Mike Tauchman. That could be the difference in this division, which is crazy to think about, because the Giants won the season series 10 games to 9. And so that's a difference in that division. That'd be crazy. But going back to LA, they've got to just continue to do what they need to do in order to win games, because they're really good at what they do and they're really good at baseball. And Dave Roberts has done a heck of a job.
So let's get into the American League wild card. And again, if the season ended today, Jackson, we would have the Tampa Bay Rays, Houston Astros, and Chicago White Sox winning the divisions on the American League side. And again, what an interesting wild card matchup. The Yankees would have home field advantage against the Boston Red Sox. I think the baseball gods are hoping that the season ended today so we can have a Dodgers Padres and a Yankees Red Sox wild card games. I think those are two incredible matchups for wild card games, the one game purposes, of course. But man, like the Yankees only have a half game lead for home field advantage over the Red Sox. They've been struggling as of late. They just lost a series against the Baltimore Orioles, who are 43-93. Okay? So the Yankees, after having their win streak snap, they've now gone on a four game losing streak. Then they won a few games. Now they're on a three game losing streak. So it's not been good for the Yankees ever after that win streak in New York. And then the Red Sox have really had problems with Tampa Bay in the last week. They've been struggling, and Tampa gave them two losses in a row. You look at the teams outside of the two games in the wild card, or the two teams in the wild card, you got three teams in it that aren't the Yankees or Red Sox. You got the Blue Jays, Mariners, and A's. All within 3.5 games out of that second wild card spot, four games out of the first spot in the wild card. Who do you got as the two wild card teams? Are you confident in the Yankees Red Sox?
I'll say yes, but if I think the most scary team could be Toronto out of that, in the standpoint of George Springer performs really well in the postseason. So if they get in, that'd be interesting to see, just from a one game perspective. But if we have a Yankees Red Sox deal, it would be Gerrit Cole versus Chris Sale, most likely, which would be very interesting. But I think home field advantage is going to be a lot. It's going to be very important in this. Going to Yankee Stadium is never fun in the postseason for a visiting team, and it's very loud. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm surprised Seattle and Oakland are still in it, because Seattle traded their closer to Houston, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. Even though they got Abraham Toro and Josh Smith, they traded Kendall Graveman to Houston. And then Oakland is always just hanging around, kind of sneaky, and we'll see what happens with them. But Toronto really took it to Oakland this a week ago in Toronto. And I feel like being back in Canada has really helped rejuvenated this team. And they found an identity with the jacket after the game. So we'll see what happens, but I imagine it will be Yankees and Red Sox.
The Yankees, I think, you really don't know what you're going to get every single day. When the Yankees first went out and got Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, and there was this excitement level in New York that the Yankees finally got left-handed hitters in that lineup. But Joey Gallo has been hitting below 200 ever since coming to the Yankees. He struggled with the strikeouts. Yankee fans knew that coming in. I wasn't, oh my gosh, so excited when Joey Gallo first got traded to the Yankees. You know, that wasn't a deal that excited me as a baseball fan, because you understand that in New York, when you have guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez in that lineup, you don't really need any more three true outcome guys. And Joey Gallo is the textbook version of three outcome guys. He works pitchers really well, though. He does work walks. He does hit home runs. And then, yes, he does strike out a lot. So I think with Anthony Rizzo coming in, it definitely helps. But Anthony Rizzo, because of health reasons, didn't get the vaccine. And when he got COVID, ever since coming back off the COVID IL, he hasn't been the same. And I think we might see that with the Red Sox as well. They've had COVID outbreaks over the last week and a half, and they aren't fully healthy right now. And that you can definitely see where that's playing into effect when they're playing the Tampa Bay Rays, who are winning that division. So whether or not people have said the vaccine, definitely the more players that are at that vaccinated threshold, the more teams are at that vaccinated threshold, have the more competitive advantage. And you're seeing that right now with the Red Sox and Yankees, especially in Boston right now, to where maybe they would have been able to be more competitive against the Rays last weekend over the weekend, when they're without Bogarts, they're without Kike Hernandez, and a lot of their pitchers as well. Man, I don't know. I think it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox. I don't know. I think the home field advantage can go either way. But the way the Blue Jays are playing right now, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I want to admit, you brought up the Joey Gallo trade. The Texas Rangers did a heck of a job. Glenn Otto has already been in the big leagues already, performed really well at AAA. They ended up getting infielder to Ezekiel Duran, Trevor Huber, I believe, and Josh Smith. Josh Smith is in AA with the Frisco Rough Riders, doing a nice job. So the Rangers and Chris Young did a nice job trading Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo, he is what he is. He's a big strikeout guy. He's a big home runs guy. And he's a three true outcomes guy, and he's going to play really good defense for you. But the New York Yankees strike out a ton, and strikeouts in the postseason do not go well over in games. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Yes, they hit a bunch of homers, but yes, they strike out a ton. So we'll see what happens in that division. But at the end of the day, you know, you have Gerrit Cole, and if you have Gerrit Cole, you're going to have an opportunity to win ball games in the postseason.
I just pulled up the stats, Jackson. Joey Gallo is hitting 130 since coming to the Yankees. He's hit six home runs. He's driven in 13 RBIs. He's walked 28 times. So he has an on-base percentage of 291. Guess how many strikeouts he has?
I might say 50.
61.
Yeah.
And so he has 123 at-bats and 151 plate appearances, and he's striking out 61 times. And he leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts this season. He has 186 strikeouts this season.
Well, also for Joey Gallo to go from Texas, where there's not as much pressure right now, to New York, where there's a ton of pressure, you know, that's a different animal for a guy. And to be with one organization and then to have to leave, you got to have a transition period. And, you know, hopefully for Joey Gallo, you know, he'll end up doing better than what he's done. But he's got to find that opportunity to maybe try to lay a bunt down and get, you know, get a base hit out of it. Because when guys are shifting those type of hitters so far over, it doesn't even have to take a good bunt to get it over. And I know that's not in you know, power hitter's DNA, but, you know, to get on base and to get a little bit of mojo going for him, just, you know, he's got to get some more walks too.
Mm-hmm. And he's an incredible player. I think his defense is his most underrated asset. He's a quick guy too on the base pass. He can be a great player, and the Yankees do have one more year of control on him. So I think the Yankees want to make him into the player that is the reason why they were trying to get him before the season even started. They were trying to get him before spring training. Didn't work out, and they got him before the trade deadline. And he was Brian Cashman's guy. He wanted Brian Cashman wanted Joey Gallo a part of this team. He saw the need in the outfield. But also, can you make the argument, though, Jackson? You look at the Yankees, right? Up until really the first week of August, Giancarlo Stanton had to play the field since 2019. But he's stepped in since August and almost playing every single day in the outfield, and he's been incredible. He's made some plays that you wouldn't think that he would be able to make. And the Yankees try to stick him either in left or right and hide him, and if they do have to make a late-game defensive replacement, they'll do that to improve the defense. But what Stanton's been able to do to step up and to really be an elite player on this Yankee team, I think he goes so under the radar, especially in a city like New York, what Stanton's been able to do this season.
And I think for him getting adjusted to having a couple seasons can only help as well in that standpoint. And to have 26 homers and 73 RBIs and hitting 266, he's doing what he needs to do. In 417 at-bats this year. So he's done a heck of a job for the Yankees, but it's still crazy to think about that they're going to be in a one-game playoff, even with everything that they've done and everybody that they've acquired and trade or have signed in free agency. It just seems like the Yankees haven't gotten over that hurdle, you know, whether it was Houston back in the day or, you know, whoever it was. They just haven't gotten to that next step, and it's going to be a long ways for them to get there this year, so be interesting to see what happens this postseason.
You make a great point. When the Yankees sign Gerrit Cole, when they go out and trade for Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, you know, that isn't just to be in the wild card. Those are moves to win the division and to win the World Series. And the Yankees, you can say, just they'll never tank. They'll never be a 500 team. Or be a below 500 team. Brian Cashman and ownership are going to do everything in their power to be competitive. It just doesn't play in New York. And that's what they did at the trade deadline. I think it surprised most people. They were a 500 team right before the deadline. And what they were able to do in August is really remarkable. And they have one of the easiest schedules for the month of September in comparison to other teams. I think the Athletics have one of the hardest going forward. So you look at what they've been able to do and what they've been able to accomplish, but also what they've not been able to accomplish, and that is to get past and make it to the World Series. They haven't made it back to the World Series since 2009. So I think what the Yankees need to do is to simply figure out their team identity, and whether or not that's this year or not, it has to be soon, especially after all the deals have been made. But to wrap up this podcast, to really look at this week in baseball, I think. I'm going to share one thing that I'm most excited about, and then you can go, Jackson. The main thing I'm excited about this week is the Dodgers are going to be playing the St. Louis Cardinals, and this is just the second time Albert Pujols will be returning to St. Louis since 2011, and they're already being asked questions being asked to Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina about the potential if a DH is brought into the National League and the new CBA deal. Is there a potential that Albert Pujols comes back for one more year to finish out with Wainwright and Molina? And I think there is a chance. I think Pujols really wants that reunion in St. Louis, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens from that standpoint because Albert Pujols has done well coming off the bench for the Dodgers too. But I think Albert has to decide, does he want to go win another championship or does he want to finish out his career in St. Louis? I kind of feel the same way with the Justin Verlander and Tigers deal. I know Astro fans don't want to hear that, but you know, Justin Verlander could do the exact same thing with Detroit. But going off to what the biggest thing I'm looking forward to this week is, I actually just looked it up. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Yankees. That's going to be a heck of a series because that's going to decide the wild card situation for Toronto because they have a chance to make up some ground in that if they win two of three, if they win all three games. So be very interesting week in baseball to say the least.
Season wrapping up, just a few weeks left of the season. Before Jackson Ryan, I'm Alex Hughes. Thanks you all for listening to this episode, and we will be back next week to break down what has happened in the landscape of the game of baseball, and we can't wait till then. So for Jackson, I'm Alex Hughes. Have a great rest of your week, and we will be talking with you in just a little bit. Have a great rest of your day.